grateful. We're so thankful for the blood of Jesus. That you gave your life so that we might have life, that our sin might be forgiven. We could have an intimate divine relationship with you. We thank you, Father, that you're not a man that you should lie or the son of man that you should repent. If you said it, you'll do it. If you promised it, you'll perform it. So we can trust you. We can put our faith in you. We're so grateful for this day that you've made for us, that we can come together. We can hear your word. We can join together in fellowship, worship you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. Not just with us, but in each and every one of us. To lead us, to guide us, to teach us, to instruct us, to anoint us, empower us. To live a life beyond that which we are able, but to live a life that you empower us to live. In the way that you created us to live that. We thank you for the anointing of God. Thank you for not just leading and guiding us, but the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. We thank you for healing in bodies today. We pray over this cloth right now for this gentleman who is suffering in his body and in his mind. That just in Acts, the 19th chapter, there were handkerchiefs and aprons where they're taken from the body of the Apostle Paul and brought to those who were sick. Even possessed spirits left them and their bodies were totally healed. So we thank you for saturating this cloth with the anointing when it's brought to this gentleman, makes contact with his body, that anointing will go from this cloth through his skin into his bloodstream and begin to attack the very source of sickness and disease and raise him up whole, manifesting your goodness to him that he might know you, not just be healed, but begin to know you as his healer, his Savior, his Lord, and his Master. We thank you for the anointing here, for deliverance, for freedom, to bind up that which is broken and put it back together again. Thank you for utterance to speak as I ought to speak today. Help me, Lord, to make it clear that which you want to say to each and every heart, that every person here may have an encounter with you, the Holy Spirit of God. That you teach them, that you touch their heart, equip them, strengthen them, that not one person would leave like they came, but further equipped, with further understanding, ready to go be salt and light wherever they are. So we thank you for what will be accomplished in every heart and life by your word and your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome once again. Why don't you look at somebody next to you and say, the life of God dwells in me, and the life of God dwells in you. Therefore, you have victory in every situation, under every circumstance, and in every place. And your victory releases a fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere you go. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. That confession really just comes from 2 Corinthians. It's over our doorway. So when you leave, if you look at that, now thanks be unto God who always, somebody say always. Always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus, and through that releases a fragrance of the knowledge of him in every place. And so, really, God's called us to victory. And so if we reinforce that in our own thinking by declaring that, confessing that, you'll have a greater shot of walking in victory. There's just something about trying to win, right? Team that thinks they can win, they end up trying not to lose. But when you know you have victory, your chances of winning are much better because your mindset and your attitude about victory is so much better. So anyway, welcome. We're glad that you're here. And I believe God has something for us today that will kind of hopefully break some thoughts or mindsets loose. We're going to continue in our series that we have entitled Righteousness, Peace, and Joy in the Holy Ghost. So open your Bibles to Romans, the 14th chapter and the 17th verse. That's our foundational text here, and it says this, it says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Other translations say it's not rules and regulations, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So people read this like, whoo, no more rules and regulations. But as we've broken it down and studied it, there's no more rules and regulations that are written down. But because of righteousness, all these things are in your heart. They don't come because somebody wrote them down. They come because they're written upon your heart. Amen. And so it's a transformation that takes place. And righteousness, the kingdom of God, In other words, the realm that God rules in. We've entered into that. Jesus said when he came to the earth, he said, the kingdom of God has come near you. But later on, he said, the kingdom of God is in you. So as a believer, the kingdom of God, the rule, the reign of God exists within you. Well, how does it exist within you? Well, at least in part, three major parts of you and I ruling and reigning in life is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Because it's a major component and kind of misunderstood, we've taken some time to really break down and endeavor to understand a little bit greater measure what righteousness is. Because certainly coming from the Old Testament or the law or legalism, righteousness starts to develop in self-righteousness. Look at everything I've done. I'm really something. And that always ends up, you know, falling flat. So then, you know, we work through the definitions. It's like right standing with God, which is part of the definition. But a lot of people, you know, they got saved and go, all right, I'm in right standing with God. I have a relationship with God. But their life never really changes. So really the Greek word righteousness, when we break it out and define it, it means man as he ought to be. So when it says he who knew no sin, Jesus became sin for us, for what purpose did he take our sin on himself? So that we could become, somebody say become, so that we could become the righteousness of God. Not self-righteousness, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So he said, God created man. How? In his own image, in his own likeness. Sin perverted that. So when Jesus came into our heart, he broke the power of sin, washed us from sin, and filled us with his Spirit. End of story. But most Christians go, no, not end of story. Good for a church service. But I got to go out and go to work tomorrow, right? So we start thinking, man, life is just beating me over the head. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17, speaking of how sin entered the earth, Romans chapter 5 is speaking how sin entered the earth through one man. Sin entered the earth. Adam's disobedience to God. Sin entered the earth, and it spread to everybody. And with sin comes condemnation. So we've studied that out. Condemnation is what? Condemnation is judgment with a sentence. Right? So man, whenever he sins, you know, we're like, oh, don't judge me. You don't, nobody even has to judge you. Once you sin, a judgment comes upon your life. And you feel it. And a judgment with condemnation, with a sentence. The wages of sin is death. Thank God we know the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. But a lot of people, they sin, and they're like, oh, I don't like to go to church. People are judging me. Sin already got attached to you. You're feeling it. It's already saying you're going the wrong direction, and it will end badly. So we struggle with that. We struggle with that, and we try to navigate that. But if we know that we're righteous, right, we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Then we look to this Romans 5:17. If sin entered the earth and with that condemnation, then he says, then Jesus came and through Jesus' obedience, right, came righteousness and justification. Aha. So you have a sentence of death, but God came and said, I'm going to justify you. So if you'll admit that there was sin that you can't overcome, then you plead your case. You say, I'm sorry, I confess my sin. And he says, I'm the only one that has the power to justify you. What is that? To break your sentence, to pardon you, and declare you righteous. Right? If you say, I don't have any sin, that's why John said, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. But if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So we see that cleansing, right? So we start to realize if we could get this mindset, see, sin consciousness of we have made a mistake, somehow somebody has to pay, right? That's why forgiving people is so hard. If somebody's wronged you, you're like, somebody's got to make them pay. I can't just forgive them. They'll keep doing it. Somebody's got to make them pay. Somebody's got to pay for what they did to me. Well, somebody did pay for what they did to you. His name was Jesus. See, if we could release that to him, no longer ours to carry. Yeah, but if I release him, he's liable to forgive him. Then who's going to make him pay? Well, see, if we're caught in that, then we're all paying. We're all looking at what we deserve. Well, thank God we're not going to get what we deserve, because we all deserve hell. But if we receive, right, what God has. So Romans 5:17 says that if we will receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we'll reign in life through one Jesus Christ. Or I like to say it this way, we'll reign over life. So I've asked this before, but how many of you sometimes feel like life's reigning over you? Right? A few of you are truthful. The rest of you are just not being honest. Done this long enough. Life just comes and runs over you. You're like, ah, you know, just like Alan was saying, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. That's life reigning over you. But it says we should reign over life. How do we get there? By receiving his grace and the gift of righteousness, right? So he's making as it ought to be. He cut off sin. He washed you from it. And he filled you with his own life and with his own nature. And so we've been looking at this. So you've been made right with God. And then we went to Romans, the seventh chapter, which anybody who's a Christian for any time, you will come upon Romans 7 if you read the Bible at all. And you will love it. You will embrace it. You'll say, thank God, this is in there. This is talking to me. So what do you mean? See, some of you haven't read it. Paul says, when I got born again, he said, man, I got the life of God. And he said, but I figured out something. The things I want to do is not what I'm doing. And the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And we're like, that's me. And we quit reading. And so we continue to struggle with sin dominating our life. But Paul actually said, right, he's following up his letter. He said in Romans chapter 6, sin should no longer have dominion over you. Because you're not under the law, you're under grace. If you died with Christ, you were buried with him, you raised again with him, there's a newness of life. Sin no longer has dominion. So he can't be going backtracking, going, I found out it really does have dominion. I can't do what I want to. No, he said, I found something that was working in my old nature. So he said, so I myself, somebody say myself. Myself in my own struggle and nature can't overcome this. But thank God, through Jesus Christ, I can be empowered to overcome this. So we get into Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, there is now no condemnation. No more judgment with a sentence attached to it. To those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So he says, once you understand this, there's no judgment with sentence if you're going to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. You're going to accept what Jesus did for you. So you're going to put off the struggle. All right, and then he goes on to talk about these differences. He said, but for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteous, somebody say righteous, righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, or that word carnally minded means pertaining to the flesh. So in other words, if your mind is always on the things of the flesh, satisfying the things of the flesh, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, right, he'll quicken your mortal body. Quicken your mortal body through the Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, you are not debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For if you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And since we're children, then we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Whew! Well, there was a mouthful. But he kept saying, the Spirit and the flesh, the Spirit and the flesh, the Spirit and the flesh. Galatians, we looked at that a couple weeks ago, says if you'll walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. They're there. But we go back to Romans 7 and say, I'd like to, but I can't. But Paul said this in Galatians 2:20. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I was crucified. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, denoting he did used to live a different kind of life. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the writers say it's a different kind of life, a different quality of life. It's the quality of the resurrection. So in John, the third chapter, Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, what do we have to do? He says, a man must be born again. Born again. And Nicodemus said, well, how could a man enter into his mother's womb again? He said, that's not what I'm talking about. In Romans or John 3:6, he said, Jesus said, what's born of flesh is flesh, but what's born of spirit is spirit. So, you know, in sharing all this, I've been really praying and saying, you know what? Help me, Holy Spirit. Because I know the struggle. I'm a human being. I know, you know, as we've shared in times past, I found Romans 7. I was like, whew, thank God. Somebody was dealing with the same problem I was. And it was the Apostle Paul. So if the Apostle Paul did it, I did it. But, you know, in studying, you realize that wasn't what he was saying. Yet, you still feel this thing working. And then you study different writers. They just say, well, there's a problem with sin consciousness. In other words, we're ever conscious of the mistakes that we've made, the sin that's in the world. We look around, see destruction. We're conscious. And God wants us to be more righteousness conscious than sin conscious. If we could ever get that way, more righteousness conscious than sin conscious, we would have victory. So I was praying about that. You know what? If the old man is dead, sin's been broken, we've been emptied out, we've been filled with the Spirit of God, then why is there such a struggle? Help me communicate this. Help me communicate this, hopefully to bring people revelation. Because in that, we can put faith in that and we can break through. So he gave me this parable or this analogy, if you guys will help me out, bring that stuff over. And so we can maybe have a little fun with this, but as parables are, you can look at it and just go, oh, that was kind of a nice little lesson. And when Jesus did that and shared a parable and they went, that was a nice little lesson and left, he said, because they didn't even want to understand, any understanding that they had, they lost. And then he said, you know, anything that he did, you could overthink it. Right? Like he says, a farmer, he puts a seed in the ground, he goes to bed, wakes up, goes to bed, wakes up, goes to bed and wakes up, doesn't know, and there comes the blade, the ear, the full corn of the ear. And somebody overthinks it, goes, now wait a minute. He didn't just go to bed and wake up. He had to water it, and he had to do some stuff for it to grow up to full corn in the ear. And he says, well, you'll miss it by overthinking it. It's just a parable that if you allow the Spirit of God to show you something, he'll give you spiritual understanding. And he says, whoever has spiritual understanding, even more will be given to him to walk in victory. So my prayer is this. My prayer is that through this parable or this analogy, that we make more clear, maybe than you've ever had before, the difference between the natural life, the life of the flesh or the nature of the flesh. It's not just this flesh and blood body, but the nature, the sin nature that controls the desires and the actions of this body, which take it away from God, and the spirit life of God that causes you to abound and to live. And so I got to get ready here. So put on my little apron. We might have a mess. I don't know. We could have a mess. Front row, we could have a mess. We didn't get you any aprons, but we'll see how that goes when this thing starts spinning and throwing stuff all over the place. Praise the Lord. So just bear with me while I get out all my preparation for what we would like to begin to talk about here. Praise the name of Jesus. All right. So, not a great storyteller, but we'll do our best that we can. So, what we have here is we have an egg. One day, this egg was brought into the earth. When this egg was brought into the earth, it looked around and said, "I don't see anything that looks like me." I mean, there was chickens around, there was roosters around. I don't see anything that looks like me. But then all of a sudden, a person or an entity outside of the coop comes in and picks up this egg. And then all of a sudden, it starts to pick it up and it sees other ones like it. And that entity, that person, man, then decides, "I'm going to put you in a carton with 12 others. And we're like, "Whew, at least there's somebody like me." And we find our community. But all the time we're wondering, like, what is this? My creator, I never really looked like my creator, but at least I look like all these other people. And then we get used to that, and all of a sudden the same entity that kind of pulled us away from the coop starts to tell us, you know, "Well, you're an egg. You know you're an egg. There's got to be a purpose for you being an egg." And so when we look at the egg, we have to understand that just like human beings, it's three parts, a shell, a white, and a yolk. So just for the sake of you tapping into what we're talking about, the shell is like your flesh, your body. The white is like your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. The yolk is like your spirit, right? So you have all these parts, and everybody's going to try to help you figure out what your purpose is because you're an egg. And so as you start getting through life and trying to figure out what your purpose is, things start to happen in life. And the enemy of your soul would try to say, "Listen, we got to put you under some heat. We got to put some pressure, some circumstances in your life." And it just starts bubbling up all around you. And when it just gets hot enough, there's been enough in life, and you're like, "Man, I've had enough to do with life." You realize something on the inside has changed. This boiling, this temperature always being up in life has seemed to change something. And it actually changed the whole consistency. You know, I'm going to just throw this in this other bucket. It changes the whole consistency of your innermost being. Come on off of here. To what most of you would recognize as a hard-boiled egg. And so what happens is, certainly your flesh, the enemy sees your flesh as something that really I can just mess with, we can wear down, we can tear down and just discard. He said, "But I always got to work with your mind, your will, your emotions, your soul, and your spirit." He said, "So if circumstances of life, I can harden you, I can change the consistency of that, now I can begin to rule how I want to." So, you know, he'll come in, and he'll cut you in half. Sounds a little gruesome. And he'll take the yolk out. And he'll start to mix up the yolk and make it all mushy. And then he'll put it back in the white. In other words, he'll take your spirit and then make it subject to your soul. And say, some people will like that. But we call it a deviled egg. So when the world gets you so confused spiritually, and makes you live how you feel, what you think, what you know, what you decide, what I decide based on how I feel and think, rather than looking at your spirit. The enemy is working on you. The enemy's working on you. So I would never let that happen. So, you know, the enemy has a strategy. He said, but you are an egg. You might not let yourself be a hard-boiled egg, but you got to figure out what you're doing. So he said, let's just come in. I know what I'll do. I'll make you feel like something. We'll separate your spirit, soul, and body so you have a better understanding. And what's really most important is your soul, your mind, your intellect, your emotion, what you want out of life. And man, it starts working on that. Whatever feels good, do it, man. You gotta get your head in this. And all of a sudden, we're like, wow, what do I do? What do I do? And actually, when you're an egg and that happens, they separate the white from the yolk and mix it up. You just become meringue. Yeah. And really, have you ever had meringue? Some people are like, I love lemon meringue pie. But how much do you love the meringue? Really, think about it. It doesn't have much taste at all. And it's kind of just full of air. But it looks pretty. It makes the pie look pretty. The only problem is you look pretty. People say, oh, it looks so pretty. But you know the flavors down below. The flavor is actually in the pie. So even though you think you're so smart, you know there's not all that much substance to it. Why? Because it's all your mind, your will, your emotions. You weren't created to live that way. Even as an egg, you weren't created just to live that way. So you're like, I'm not going to get just into my mind. I have a soul and a spirit. And so, you know, the enemy, society will say, well, that's okay. Let's just do that. Let's just keep them together. And in fact, if they're going to be together, don't you think it would be much better if we just mixed them up and stirred them up a little bit? And so the world will just try to get you to say, man, just don't define them, just mix them up. Your soul and your spirit, they're just the same old thing. But when he pours you out on the heat of life that way, you just become scrambled eggs. Scrambled eggs. There we go. Scrambled eggs. So how many people just feel like my life is scrambled up? I mean, they had to do a whole big thing about eggs in your brain on drugs. Right? We just get things mixed up and scrambled up. And so you're still trying to say, well, it's my purpose as an egg. But it seems like society is just kind of saying, well, you can be whatever you want, but you're either a hard-boiled deviled egg, or you're a bunch of meringue, or you're scrambled. You're just like, I'm all over the map. So you're like, I don't even know what I'm going to do with this. And I would just soon not be scrambled. And I'd soon not to have too much trial in life. So I would like my life over easy. Over easy. Isn't that good? I don't want anybody messing with my heart. Even though there's the trials of life, the temperature's turned up, I believe we can cook this thing and not have my heart. The only problem is as soon as you put it on the plate and somebody messes with it, they break your yoke. So we have a bunch of people who wanted it over easy, but they're running around brokenhearted. So they don't want to be brokenhearted. People see that. I don't want to be brokenhearted. So go ahead and break my yoke in the fire on the frying pan, and I'll just come out. I like my eggs hard. That's a bummer. So we're still trying to find out. Here's the egg. Man, I don't know where I came from. I don't look like my creator, but this person came, picked me up, put me in the carton with all the other eggs, and some eggs are boiled, hard boiled. Some eggs are over easy. Some are scrambled. Some become meringue. Some are you know, over hard. I still just don't know. And then the world will come and say, well, you know what? It would be better if you just looked at the world and took a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and we just started to really reform who you are. The whole makeup of who you are. And so we take the mixture of everything, and we go through the blender of life, and we just start getting everything all mixed up. But we're trying to find purpose. And if we could just be good enough, If I could just be good enough. And so he says, once we do that, we'll throw that in the trials or the oven of life, and you get to be a cake. Wow, wouldn't that be great? And I don't want to just be a vanilla cake. Let's put some frosting on it. Let's just get some things from the world and put some appealing frosting on. Then maybe we just sprinkle some sprinkles on it. And so I'll at least taste good and be part of the party. But I don't really want to just be part of the party. I could be a birthday cake. And man, if I'm a birthday cake, I have achieved cakeness. And in that, it's like, wow. That was the way to go, to mix myself with the world and be a cake. The thing about the egg is, everything that's come about with the egg, even if you didn't pick it up, the exterior would get soft and it would rot. If you leave it too long, it'll spoil. But the world will always try to get you to figure out how to mix, conduct your life, go through the trials of life. But in the end, it's just consumed by others' appetite. And it's temporal. But in reality, the egg with God, while it's before its formation within the hen, the father or the rooster comes. And he deposits some of himself into the place where the yolk is. When the Father comes and we yield and he deposits his spirit in our spirit, as in an egg, you know that it's fertilized because there's this blood spot in it. And even so, when we receive Jesus and what he's done for us, there's a blood spot in our heart that says, now Jesus is Lord. I've been birthed. I've been conceived now by my Father. And the question when I come forth in the new birth is not like an A. I'm looking, I'm like, I still don't see anything quite like myself. When I look at the Creator and I look at myself, I look like an egg. So will somebody put me in a community of eggs? But they say, no, we're keeping you in the coop. And we're going to nurture you. And we're going to keep you warm. We're going to keep you warm. Because if we keep you warm long enough, that which was deposited in you by the Father begins to come forth. And when that which is deposited by the Father breaks forth, the real you starts to come out. And it breaks off the old nature. And now you look and say, I'm starting to look a little bit like my Creator. I feel a little helpless. I feel a little hopeless when I look at everybody else around. But at least I'm not an egg. And so there's something on the inside that says, ah, I have a different purpose than being an egg. I look like my Creator. So what do? Mama keeps them protected. And they stay in the coop. People want to know, is there importance to the church? Sure there is. You're in the coop. And even though as you grow, there's a lot of nitpicking. There's a lot of picking here and picking there. Picking at each other. You're still protected and you grow. And knowing you're... still, you're created, you look like that, but it's not done yet. There's something different. I need to be more like my Creator. I need to be more like my Creator. I have some assistance And so we stay in the coop and we grow and we get through some of the nitpicking, some of the things that are going on, because there's a divine purpose. And the divine purpose is to mature and to grow. Do I get it right?
Yeah.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Praise the Lord. And once we grow, we actually look around and say, I am just like the one who created me. Now look at, just understand this. That this chicken, when this chicken goes home to its coop and hangs around, it won't go to any other chickens and say, hey, let's go back and go yoking around. You've never seen a chicken trying to force itself back in its shell. Why? Because if it's a chicken, it's no longer an egg. And if it's an egg, it's no longer a chicken. If you be in the flesh, you cannot be in the spirit. If you be in the spirit, if Christ is yours, you cannot be in the flesh. Yet human beings, not like chickens, are like, I can't help it. I'm kind of in the flesh and I'm kind of in the spirit. I'm kind of in the flesh. No, you can't be kind of in the flesh and kind of in the spirit. You can't kind of be a chicken and kind of be an egg. Right? You want to take this chicken back? Thank you. Give Carter a big hand. That's actually her chicken. So Romans 8, all the scriptures Paul brought are revelation. For thousands of years, we've just continued to be confused. Yeah, but I have this flesh. No, you don't. When you received Jesus, something started and you broke out. And once you broke off of this flesh nature, you don't fit back in it. Quit wanting to be an egg. Quit letting the world try to hard boil you, fry you, scramble you, meringue you. You're not an egg anymore. It's a lie of the enemy. You've been born. If you made Jesus the Lord of your life, he deposited his life in your spirit. And he said, once you grow and you break out of that, you may feel like an infant. You may feel like you don't know what's going on. But if you'll stay with it, you will mature. And if Christ be in you, you no longer owe that egg anything. You're no longer a debtor to the flesh, to owe the flesh anything. But if you realize I've sprung forth, I am now led by the Spirit of God. I'm not led by what people think I am. I'm not led by what people say that I should identify as an egg in some form because that's how I came into the world. No, I'm no longer an egg. I don't identify with any part of an egg. I am now led by the Spirit of God. Why? Because I'm a son of God. And I've received that spirit of adoption whereby I cry, Abba, Father. And since I'm his child, I'm his heir. Stop the confusion. You're not an egg, you're a chicken. Too many people trying to fit back in that shell. You don't fit. You be Christ. Well, you don't understand my desires. It's only because you don't know that you're not an egg anymore. That's just it. If you knew you were a chicken, that chicken is never going to go back to an egg. Why? Because it knows it's a chicken. It doesn't even remember it was an egg ever. Because once it broke out, it said, whoo, thank God it was a little stuffy in there. So we start the same. And the enemy will try to come in to your coop and say, you're just an egg. I'll put you with a bunch of other eggs. Let's try to figure out what you're going to do to please society, culture, and be good enough. But something on the inside says, I'm still puzzled. something doesn't feel right. He says, when you stay in the coop and you hear what Jesus has done for you and you receive that, His Spirit comes into your spirit. And it starts the new creation to break out of that old shell. And He says, then if you stay there, I'll nurture you. I'll feed you. I'll cherish you. And you will grow. And what was very temporal and consumed upon other people's desires now becomes more eternal. And you begin to take your place amongst the other chickens. And though you go out in the day and you wander around doing whatever chickens do, at night you come back into the coop to gather together for safety, for feed, and for protection. So the next day you get to go out and be a chicken amongst chickens. There's a divine purpose to your chicken life. So when Paul said, listen, there's something right about this. To be a chicken and not an egg is extraordinary. It's extraordinary. But you can't confuse the two. I've never found a confused chicken. See, I have when they get their head cut off. They run around like that. But I'm just talking about it. It's not confused. I've never seen a chicken trying to get back in an egg. I've never seen a chicken trying to decide whether it's scrambled or over easy. It never identifies with an egg the moment it breaks out. So why do we, as believers who become spiritually alive, always try to fit back into the egg or figure out what kind of egg we are? We're no longer eggs. We're chickens. And the spirit of life as a chicken has made you free from the egg. It just did. It's scriptural. Amen. So my goal today was not to just say, wasn't that fun? Or how ridiculous was that? But to somehow plant in your heart something that will remain with you. Every time you see an egg or a chicken, that you realize, I am who God said I am. I am not a sinner. I am the righteousness of God. I no longer serve the flesh and sin. I serve God because I am like Him, birthed of Him, born of Him, growing in Him, maturing in Him, not an egg. If you can remember that every time the enemy tries to pull you back into eggdom, you'll strut yourself off. Saying, no more. I'm a chicken. Come on, there's some believers that need to act like a believer. You need to strut a little bit of your stuff. Not an arrogance, just to know like, man, too many Christians are maybe a chicken, but they're laying around like an egg. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank You. Thank You for today. Holy Spirit, to the best of my ability, I shared what You downloaded into my heart. So I release it to You. You know every single person's place in life, what they've struggled with, what they believe, what they don't believe. I release it to You. I trust that You'll take what we said, what was seen, and translate it into truth for them. That having seen and heard, every person here would now be able to have an encounter with You, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, that You might open up truth to them, that they will never be bound by the lie of the enemy, that their life is too short and they just need to find out how to be good, but that they'll see what Christ has done, enter into their eternal purpose. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to ask this question before we go this morning. You may have gone to church all of your life, been religious. She said, today I just realized, man, this struggle in my life is really all because I haven't really seen how that new birth works, what God really had planned for me as my creator through the blood of Jesus. Even if you've been religious, he says, what really sets you apart starts that inward working to break out of the old shell and enter into newness of life is recognizing that Jesus shed his blood. He paid the price for your sin. He paid the price for you to no longer be an egg. He paid the price that his life could be implanted into your spirit. And what he needs you to do is, if you believe he died, shed his blood for you, went to hell and raised from the dead so you could be forgiven and the power of the egg could be broken over your life. The power of sin could be broken over your life so that you could rise to be a son and a daughter of God, free from sin, living as you ought to live, as you were created to be. He says, if you will confess your sin, you'll believe that God, Jesus, was crucified, raised from the dead, and call him Lord, he will come into your heart. He will save you. He'll change your heart. And the Holy Spirit will bring you forth into a newness of life. If you're here this morning, doesn't matter if you've gone to church all your life, you say, you know what, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. I believe that, but I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. Today is your day to break out of eggdom into chickenhood, from the flesh into the spirit. Just slip your hand up. I want to pray with you this morning. If you're here, you don't know Jesus Christ, today's your day. Don't let it go by without making him the Lord of your life. Anybody at all, will make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Praise the Lord. If you're here this morning, you say, you know what? I haven't been living for God. This makes it more real to me. I was in that struggle. I was always living according to the flesh, but I thought I was okay because everybody deals with that struggle. I didn't really know I could be free from that struggle. And today you want to say, I recommit my life. I'm gonna break out today into a different kind of life, a different quality of life through my recommitment to Jesus. Raise your hand. I want to pray with you this morning. See those hands. Jesus' name. If you put your hand up, you can put it back down. Anybody want to join these two and say, I recommit my life. I'm going to live free now because I see what God has done for me. Anybody else want to join these two? Praise the Lord. Why don't you all stand up with me? Let's all pray this prayer together with these two. And maybe you're saying, I was afraid to raise my hand, but I should have. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Father God, I come to you this morning. In the name of Jesus. And I believe in my heart that Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood for my sin. He went to hell, paid my penalty, separate from God, in that evil place of torment. But you raised him from the dead so that I could be forgiven, justified, made righteous. So I believe that. And now I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart afresh and anew. I give my life to you. Be the Lord of my life, the master. I determine to never let the old nature master me again, but to let you be the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for being the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, if you didn't raise your hand, you prayed that prayer, there'll be altar workers up here. Just come tell them you prayed that prayer. They have a little packet of three booklets that just I want to give to you that tells you really what it meant when you made Jesus the Lord of your life. Now, who you are in him. One book's called In Him. Who you are now. You're no longer an egg. You're a chicken. It'll tell you what that means to you, right? And one about the Holy Spirit of God and interacting, praying in the Spirit so you can have that power to overcome sin. We want to give you that gift. If you just need prayer for anything, healing or anything, these altar workers will be up here. to pray with you. Thank you for coming today. Again, my prayer for you is that, you know, hopefully we had fun today with the chicken and the egg. But my desire is not just to have fun, but that somehow it really brings a revelation that you can walk more free, walk more in your divine purpose than you ever have before. And in that, you start sharing that life with other people who don't know anything so that they can be born again. Amen. Say this, we go, what God did in Christ Jesus? Far exceeds any damage done to me by Adam's fall. You can be dismissed. Have a great day. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock.